Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, welcome to this. It is the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, the podcast about rugby that doesn't take itself or the game too seriously. I'm JB. I'm feeling very, very ill. Very ill. I feel very sorry for myself. And next to me is Phil. Phil, hello.
Hello, JB. Do you want some sympathy?
Yeah, please, sympathy.
You look awful.
Thank you, mate. I really appreciate that.
Does that help?
And Tim, can you put some sympathy on me, please?
Oh, you poor thing. You've got a hurty nose and a hurty throat and a hurty head.
Oh, I feel awful. Absolutely awful.
So it's not just a hangover?
It's definitely not a hangover.
Not just a hangover, Phil.
Yeah, not just a hangover.
It might be poorly hangover. I never said it wasn't poorly hangover. yeah, we've got loads of stuff to talk about today. Some clubs to review, some news of some sort. And you can find us on social media too, at Rugby Podcast, and also the Instagram and Facebook. Philip, why don't you tell me what you've been doing this weekend?
I've been down in St Albans.
Home of Saracens.
The home of Saracens. I spotted a couple of... I spotted one ex-Saracen and a few what looked like...
Actual Saracens?
Saracen Academy lads. I didn't see any of the
I reckon your ex-Saracen is going to be Kelly Brown.
No.
Oh.
Ali Hargreaves.
Oh, that's a good one.
Nope.
Was it... I think
Richard Hill.
No.
Oh, that's a good one.
It's an ex-Saracen who's still playing.
Huh?
Ooh, Chris Ashton.
Nope.
Ex-Saracen still playing. Goodness me. Kieran Longbottom.
Nope.
Got no idea.
Petrus Duplessis.
Did you see him?
Did you see? Was that? Was you? Was he at a function you were at?
So, I was at UK's Strongest Man, and no, me and Petrus, neither of us were competing. We were just watching. Unfortunately,
yeah. Did you keep it together like I kept it together when I saw Matt Simons in London? Matt!
Difference being is these two were teammates. They were in the changing room together at Sedgley Park.
Oh, that's a good point, actually.
Yeah, I didn't actually get a proper chance to chat to him because I saw him while he was queuing for the toilet and I thought...
Now's my chance, he can't move.
Yeah, probably best not interrupt him. And then I didn't properly see him again after that. So, I did keep it together better than you did.
Yeah.
What was that like, though? That's World's Strongest Man. I'd love to have seen that.
No, UK's Strongest Man.
So, yeah.
UK's Strongest Man. Same difference. World's Strongest Man is from the UK at the minute.
That's true, actually.
Yes, the official announcement. We won't... has taken place, but we won't give any spoilers.
Yeah, why do they do that? A real competition would just tell you, surely.
So, it's an antiquated system. So, the competition takes place in, I think it's March or April.
Yeah.
But they keep it a secret until New Year, Christmas time.
So is this the strong man for the year after?
So this was UK's, which is actually separate to Britain's Strongest Man, which is a qualifier for the Worlds. So they're slightly different tournaments.
Did anything impress you, or do you think it's a little bit, meh?
They're unquestionably enormous, incredibly strong men. It was quite good fun to go to, and I'm glad I went. The organisation, it did feel a little bit kind of tin pot. To the point where there's 3 days of events. So it happened on the Friday. We were there on the Saturday. Saturday morning, I was trying to look up who was in the lead, who's taking part, what events there were. I simply could not find any information online about it.
Like the world's worst airport
Like, well,
no information anywhere.
No, yeah, no information. Like, it felt like a slightly bigger Village Fete, the way it was run.
That sounds lovely.
That is not because the competitors are incredible specimens.
Hmm.
They're some enormous boys.
Well, talking of incredible specimens, there's been more hoo-ha this week about tackle heights.
There has.
Let's get into this.
God, why? I feel like we're just slowly chipping away bit by bit. So go on then, you can lead on this, Phil. Sorry, Tim.
Okay, well, let's establish exactly what's happened. So the RFU with World Rugby have conducted, after some research has been conducted using, I think, 1,500 games they've analysed the tackles, or it's 1,500 tackles from games that they've had game tape.
They have categorised 4,000 tackles, is what they say.
Yeah, it's more than 3,000 individual tackles and more than 600 individual
tackles which ended in, with tackles which led to a concussion. That is 1,500 individual cases of concussion. I think
it's 600 cases where there was a HIA as an outcome of a tackle.
Yes,
so that's part of it, and then a further 3,000 individual tackles which had no relation on a HIA to understand the control data.
Okay, right. So I'm sure that the statistical significance will have been established, and this isn't a correlation causation. Let's just assume that the data is all legit and not got holes in it, because that's beyond the remit of this podcast or to even be bothered to get into. Let's get into the meaty stuff, which is World Rugby and RFU together have done this research, and they've decided to run a trial in the Championship Cup, which is the 14 championship clubs having their own cup competition aside from the league, so to replace what was the British and Irish Cup. And in that, there will be a new tackle height of the armpits trialled to see what effect it has and how that might contribute to a lowering of the concussion and HIA rate.
All right.
So yeah, JB, you seem very negative on this. Your body language and your attitude.
I feel just like we are, you know, we've got a sledgehammer and we're chipping away slowly at our own house. Whether it be, you know, depowering of the scrum or depowering, you know, eventually it's going to look nothing like what it originally looked at. Sorry, what it originally looked like, i.e., you know, the game. It was quite interesting. I mean, I've got to say, I did learn quite a lot from reading, and I also communicated with Ross Tucker, who is one of the sports scientists, over Twitter, and that was quite enlightening. And what I did,
he's the guy that's been behind this research.
Yeah, and like what I was very, very sceptical about was the health of the tackler. Right, so the theory goes that the tackler is at most risk when he goes high.
Yes,
72% of concussions.
Yeah, and I thought that is ludicrous. I mean, the thought that Sam Burgess is in more danger than Dan Lydiot just doesn't seem to stack up to me. So I did a very scientific piece of research myself. During work time, I watched a video of Sam Burgess, which turned into several videos of Sam Burgess. Some of them he wasn't even playing
rugby. Easily done.
And then I watched a couple of videos of Dan Lydiot. That's amazing, actually. Watching highlights of Dan Lydiot is purely amazing. Now, all I'd say is this is not scientific whatsoever, but Dan Lydiot's head connects every time he tackles, pretty much. Every time. But the point is that it's the ferocity, even though there's, I think, less head contacts when you tackle high, it's the ferocity of the head contact when it does happen.
So,
looking at those videos, I thought, yeah, you might have a point, because they slam into each other.
So have you read the full Ross Tucker... it's the full breakdown in layman's terms of his analysis. It's nowhere near the full
The answer is, I've seen some graphics, and I just thought, I can't...
So I would recommend anyone to read that paper.
Someone told me exactly that on Twitter. It'd save us a lot of trouble if you just read the paper. To which I answer, I've got 4 podcasts to do, a full time job, a team to coach, and a young family. And also, no one asked you. go back to Reddit.
So my recommendation would be read the paper.
Yeah,
it's about.
Can you summarise it for me?
There's 3 separate ones. It's about half an hour of reading, so it's a lot of content to summarise.
Yeah,
just on those points. So there's so many points because of the way it was coded and the work that they've done, which is a truly an enormous amount of work into this. So I think the stats, as Tim said before, that there is no question for me of the stats and the scientific process. But
I didn't say that. I said I'm assuming.
Well, so
I studied a bit of statistics as part of my postgrad degree, so I know I understand about statistical significance. I'm just assuming they've done all their due diligence there, but I don't know.
So I having read this paper, I am certain, I am confident that they have done. And I, too, have done a reasonable amount of statistics in my
yeah,
past.
All right.
Never to an incredible high
glad
level.
Glad to hear it.
But so one of the points they make is about the height of the tackler. So when the tackler is upright, that is risky for head injuries to the tackler.
Uh-huh.
When the tackler is bent at the waist, then that is the least risky. But if the tackler is diving in the same way that Dan Lydiot does, that is actually more risky.
Oh.
So it's about control. So, but that's one of the many points. And the other ones, the front-on tackle, unsurprisingly, is the most dangerous for both parties.
It's interesting, like, when you're tackling, you can get your head out of the way. Your head doesn't need to make contact with someone, but when it does, it's pretty hard, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I guess everyone's trying to keep their head out of the way, aren't they?
Yeah, well, not if you try to smash someone in the head. That's what I mean. Like, so the control is on me. If I'm tackling you high and I want to forearm you across the face, that's fairly easy to do. And I might not pay as much attention to your safety as I would mine. And that's why it surprises me that it's so dangerous for the tackler to go high.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad to hear that you summarised that exact point, Phil, that you did, because I think that has been massively overlooked in the summaries of what they've actually said, is it is as dangerous, if not slightly more dangerous, to dive in low.
Yes, yeah, it is.
And there is a sweet spot between the waist and the chest, basically.
There is, absolutely. And they say the best things, so they categorise and they code all tackles, all these nearly 4,000 tackles and incidents, and they say the best things are, so a passive shoulder tackle rather than an active shoulder tackle.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, as they point out, because so all of this, all of the...
Tackle like Johnny Gray.
Well, yeah, all of the coding and all of the recommendations and the incidents that increase HIA risk, they were put forward to a panel of players, coaches, referees and sports scientists who analysed what could potentially be done. And this is one of the outputs of that panel.
I am utterly stunned, though, that they had to put together a panel of experts to come to this conclusion.
Which conclusion?
Well, that you need to lower the tackle height to avoid high tackles and contact with the head.
So the stat... For the tackler.
Yeah, not for the tackler, but actually, that's a surprise to me, isn't it? The tackler is getting injured too much.
So the stats...
72%.
The stats just spit out exactly what the reality is. Then, in order to understand how to deal with that, that's why they put together this panel.
Mm.
So it's not... You can get anyone. You can get someone who has no idea about rugby to run the stats.
Yeah.
But you can't then formulate a potential law change without...
Yeah, and Phil, do you know what? There seems to be... There's the one voice that I would say seems to be speaking from a fairly consistent point of view.
Me?
Players aren't saying, oh, don't do this, because it's a trial. And I'm okay for a trial. I'm open-minded. And I think, the research demands a trial to investigate it. But I think if you would sort of do a meta-analysis of what rugby players are saying, recently retired and still playing, they're saying this is not the silver bullet that they're searching for. It's not going to make any difference to the level of concussion. And it's just an unnecessary... route to solve something which is genuinely a problem.
Well, that,
and I agree with that.
So that's I'm probably on that same trajectory, in all honesty. So if we go to kind of, without getting in too much detail on the data, but concussion is the most common injury now in rugby,
mm-hmm.
and that's partly due to more and better awareness of concussion, because you go back kind of 20 years ago, I'm certain there were all sorts of incidents that would just be passed off and never recorded. So something does need to be done. I think this will be an interesting trial, and I'm really glad it is a trial. I'm glad they're not just ruling this out, because as Ross Tucker says in the article, and as other people have pointed out, there are often laws of unintended consequences with things like this. So we don't know. So the trial is a good thing. Now, this, in my opinion, is not going to... You described it before as a sledgehammer hitting away at your house.
Yes.
This is not a sledgehammer. This is a minor tweak. So this is...
Yeah, have you ever tried to take down a house with a sledgehammer? They're fairly minor blows.
Well, you'll do some damage.
How long do you reckon it take to knock down my house with a sledgehammer?
It'd take a while, but...
Yeah.
I could certainly smash a lot of windows.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But
I'd take out all your doors.
Yeah.
Load-bearing wall down and it's made a lot easier. You only have to take down the bottom floor to take down the second and third.
How functional is your kitchen going to be and your podcast studio if I've had 5 minutes with a sledgehammer?
Well, I mean, you might argue they've already sledgehammered away at the bloody seatbelt tackle and some of the scrum laws too. So, yeah. Little changes.
So this change is moving it from the neck area to the armpit line. So it's a very, very minor move. So
let's not get too technical. Let's chunk up and talk about how we feel about this.
So I'm kind of, as I said before, on the same trajectory as you, Tim, that I'm not actually sure this will make a significant difference. This certainly will not be, as you say, this will not be a silver bullet and eradicate concussions overnight. And I think you will never be able to eradicate concussions in rugby.
No,
the way to eradicate concussions, because one of the things they point out in the Ross Tucker article is you could eradicate concussions by having it non-contact.
Yes.
No one wants to do that. Not World Rugby, not the doctors, certainly not the fans, and not the
just
players.
Just Alison Pollock.
Yes, yeah. Quite.
Well, she probably wants to go further than that, doesn't she? She wants the game banned, all of us slaughtered.
Mixed gender self-identifying teams.
No, not even. Not if it's going to be called rugby JV.
No. Good point, actually, because it's naturally misogynist.
Yeah. Yeah. So I feel fine with this. I think it won't... It'll be interesting to see if it does make a statistically significant difference. You will have to do statistical analysis on this, because the difference will be small, I would have thought.
Do you know...
Right, now, on this, I believe, although I don't know, but I believe that the trial was intended to be broader. And if that, let's assume that was the case, and I don't know for certain, then I could understand why people would be against having the trial be on this Championship Cup, you know, six rounds of games or whatever, and a couple of knockout matches in a relatively insignificant competition. Because one of the issues I have with this, without video replay, I don't want to chuck this on assistant referees' plates. If you were a coach,
yeah,
in a Championship level, and let's say this was a Championship League thing that they were going to bring in, or a league even at National One level, I do not want assistant referees with that added on their plate, which kind of plays into where I feel about this, that, again, you talked about the law of unintended consequences. This is making more complicated, more nuanced, more things to officiate, more grey areas, and it could have the unintended consequence of just being another turn off whilst not actually correcting the issue you're trying to correct. And Alistair Hargreaves in the Times seems to be saying what a lot of rugby players are saying, which is, if you want to actually sort this problem out, then play less.
Yes, exactly.
Over 35 games a season.
Because I was going to say, like, the ultimate enemy to a rugby player is work rate.
Yeah,
that's the one that's going to cause you the most head injuries.
Yeah, and
or another trying to be positive and not just take pot shots and go, I don't like this one, which I don't particularly, but it's a trial, so I'm all right with it, and it's relatively inconsequential. Trying to be positive and offer a solution is find ways to have the ball in playtime. Change around, as we talked about before, change around the replacements options so that players have to be more aerobically fit, so the body mass has to drop to cope with the demands of rugby. I think you get a better spectacle on the field and you don't get these giant bodies careering into each other.
Maybe. I mean, I think it's rugby's version of secondhand smoke. Like, it's going to start like this, and it's going to keep on rolling and rolling and rolling, and eventually it's going to change the game completely. And I don't know. There is something which I'm deeply uncomfortable about with the whole thing. And just
nice going into pubs these days, though, isn't it?
Say this again.
No, nice going into pubs these days, mate.
I genuinely preferred it when they were smoking.
You may well be in the minority there.
Well, that's, you know. And also, you know, if you don't want to go to a pub where people are smoking, guess what you do?
Don't go to a pub.
Correct.
Well, previously it was don't go to a pub.
Yes.
Prior to 2005. Well,
Manchester had the UK's first non-smoking pub. There you go. Yeah, that's what I think this is. This is sort of changing into, and it's a very unnuanced view. And I'm sure all the stats are right and all the rest of it. I just don't like it. And also, you know, are we allowed to have a debate about saying maybe the risks are just acceptable? These are the risks, and I'll go and play.
Well, yeah,
it feels like you're a pariah if you say that.
Yes, absolutely.
But everyone does that. That is the known stance. If you play rugby, you're accepting the risk of a broken leg, a dislocated shoulder, a concussion.
Exactly right. I would still play it.
Yeah, and everyone does.
I would still play it. We all knew that. We all signed up for that. And
absolutely.
I think that's what players are saying as well. I think what's different and what's really good now is the awareness and the understanding of concussion and the consequences of it, and therefore the return to play protocols and the baseline testing and the medical awareness. I think that's all brilliant. So people aren't going to be put in harm's way after they've suffered injuries, just like they wouldn't be chucked out on the field with a medial ligament tendon ripped.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't know. Right, let's move on. I've had enough of this. Did anyone see the Super Rugby semi-finals?
Yes.
I watched the Lions. They were cool.
Yeah, it was an interesting game, that.
Yeah, it was.
With the Waratahs going 14-0 up and then Lions coming back strong.
Izzy Folau's second try was amazing. His footwork is just so good. Yeah.
The way he moves, because he's a big bloke as well. I mean, he's not like a Naira Voro.
Yeah, yeah. Stone, he was also very impressive.
But Izzy Folau is 6'5".
Yeah, he's absolutely incredible.
Word on the street is Michael Checker's thinking of him at 13.
Yeah, he's played there for he's played there for Waratahs previously.
Yeah,
but
I feel this rugby championship.
I feel you're not getting so the best is his running in broken field and his aerial ability.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, his aerial ability is unparalleled.
Yeah, and also he's got God on his side too, hasn't he? So that's why he's able to be 6 foot and dance around.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You
know, do you know what Super Rugby matches, rugby championship? He's just happy to be here this week, judging by Twitter.
Oh, yeah, of course, because wasn't it not Apocalypse Day for him?
Yeah, it was, didn't it? He tweeted something about it being the end of days.
Oh, God. Yeah, when you realise...
Actually, it was a joke. I don't know. Was it something to do with a lunar eclipse?
Who knows? I have no idea. I just know when Izzy Folau tweets, don't pay any attention to it. just don't. It's not good for your mental health, especially if you're somewhat sensitive to the things that he tweets about.
Agreed. That's probably a good stance to take. But the game, so
it should be like Owen Jones and Izzy Folau.
What together?
Just ignore them.
Just completely ignore them. Correct. What I don't get about Super Rugby is why every British journalist feels the need to watch it, but continue. I mean, they mustn't be watching it because they're always tweeting about it. I mean, you can't you can't watch and tweet so much, and it's always going to be the same stuff, which is whoa. Yeah, look at the skills over and over again.
Well, if you're going to talk about skills, it depends what skills you're going to talk about. Because that game, there were some amazing skills on play, on show. The Crusaders-Hurricanes game, the way that the Crusaders performed, so it wasn't the showy, flashy stuff, although Richie Munger did a few amazing things. The magnificence of their performance was in the brutal efficiency of their pack and their suffocating defence on that phenomenal Hurricanes back line. They kept them at bay for virtually the whole game by having very simple but very hard working defensive sets and team structure. It was brilliant.
So the thing I liked about the Lions, I mean, I love the Lions because it feels like they're sort of an underdog. I know they're not, but it feels like they sort of are.
They will be this coming weekend.
Is that the third final in 3 years?
It will be.
That's amazing, isn't it? A new coach, have lost Faf, they've lost, you know, Ackerman Jr., they've lost loads of players, and yet they still find themselves up there.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it is. Still got.
Or did they go in the semis last year? Was it Crusaders Hurricanes in the final?
I can't remember the final last year. Yeah. I'm just looking it up.
The worrying thing for me is it was a semi final. It was empty.
All games seem to be empty.
Weird. It's so weird. Now, when I was a kid.
Big issues in South African rugby in general. Lots and lots of issues.
Yeah. So when I was a kid, I used to watch Super Rugby. I used to love it when it's Super 12, right? And I thought it looked like the coolest place to be because all the stands were absolutely rammed, or at least it felt like that. And then people used to have picnics on the side on those glasses.
Yeah.
That was the thing which I was interested in. Rugby and a picnic.
And a few glasses of wine.
Exactly. And you can do that at RGC too.
Yeah,
what about your beloved Canes, Phil? When are they going to learn that forward-dominated teams will always be back-dominated teams?
Yes, I know. Good question. It did show the difference. So Beauden Barrett was completely outplayed by Richie Munga, but Beauden Barrett was getting disrupted, slow back football, and Munga was getting brilliant front football, clean, consistent front football.
And by the way, do the All Blacks really need another 10?
You can never have too many 10s.
Yeah, I think they should do something with Richie Mwanga. Give him to Fiji or, you know, one of the developing nations. Because they've got so many. I mean, Sepawanga's on his way off. He's an international calibre guy now. You've got Cruden knocking about. He can still play a bit.
Yeah, but Montpellier, isn't he?
Yeah, these are just the guys who are not in the picture. I'd say Richie Mwanga isn't in the picture. Is he in the squad yet?
He'll be third choice.
Yeah, and then you've got, what's the guy who was in... he plays in green in France.
Plays in green.
Yeah, you'll know exactly who I mean as soon as I say him.
Oh, Colin Slade.
Colin Slade.
Pow.
Yeah, that's another one. And then you've got Beauden Barrett.
Yeah.
And Damian McKenzie.
Yeah,
and now Richie Mwanga. It's frightening.
Yeah, phenomenal talent. Some of the passing, some of the half breaks from Mwanga, and then the range and the vision of his passing was spectacular.
I do think about this, though. Think about someone like Matt Simons, right? The second Matt Simon mention of the night. Second row in the Premiership. Very good player. You wouldn't say outstanding, though, would you? You wouldn't say that is an absolute cracking... You know, there was not
he's on to his third. He's on to his third club in, what, four seasons in England, so...
Yeah. Three or four seasons,
now,
yeah.
There's injuries, there's been other things, but he's not had
any... Yeah, no, I know.
Yeah.
But
I'm just trying to balance it out.
Emphasise your point, yeah.
But he was, like, a top guy there. He was doing really, really well. And I wonder, if you had a Sam Davis, or I'm just trying to think of someone else, or like a Ryan Lamb, or you know, name the 10, how good were they? I mean, Pierce Francis. Pierce Francis shone there.
I wouldn't say shone.
Did all right.
He played a bit of 10 and a bit of 12 at the Blues.
Anscombe won a title from fullback.
Yeah.
You know, you get all these lads.
Yeah.
They come over and they don't seem to be the same. I wonder, I can only assume it's the way that they set up.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So Beauden Barrett's not all that, is he? Well, that's pretty much the summary of our podcast.
Well, let's get him playing for London Irish, see how he goes.
Yeah.
I'd certainly have him, I'd certainly try him out at...
Dragons.
At Ulster in the pouring rain behind our pack at the moment.
Now, Ulster's...
See how he could do.
Ulster's an interesting club, because generally speaking, your imports play as well as they should be playing.
Apart from Kurt Seer.
Oh yeah,
he does play as well as he should be on the one occasion he played.
Yeah,
and P&R is an absolute monster, or was an absolute monster for you.
Yeah,
the Pietau, absolute monster.
Yeah,
they all seem to work. What's his name as well? Christian Lealiafano.
Yeah,
very good.
Yeah, brilliant.
So every time he seems to, yeah, that's exception.
Some very good South Africans over the years.
And I wonder
well.
If that's because you don't have a pack, so they've got to do it.
They've got to step up.
Yeah, they've got to play rugby.
Yeah.
So is the, is the Super Rugby final this weekend coming?
Yes, correct. Saturday morning.
Any predictions?
It's going to be, what was the score last year? It's going to be about a 20-point win to
Crusaders. I wonder if anyone will show up to the final.
So last time it was in Joburg.
Oh, was it?
And Crusaders won 25-17.
And this year it's
in Christchurch.
Ah, nice. And it's going to be the Lions. Come on, Lions. Come on.
I like your optimism. I just can't see it.
I can't see either.
Crusaders, they're packing their defensive. That back line, it doesn't have the star names that the Hurricanes back line has got.
Yeah.
But they are. they're such a good, solid, well-drilled team. Their backline is epitomised by Ryan Crotty. Who is not?
I love Ryan Crotty. Such good basics.
But he's probably underrated because he's less flashy, but he does the basics better than anyone.
So much time on the ball. Amazing that Leicester didn't want him. That was the rumor.
Shut down Lau Mappy, didn't he? He figured him out. I know, I completely brain farted what I was going to say then.
You were going to say Lions going to win.
No, Crusaders to win.
Crusaders to win again.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Yeah. So that'd be three Lions finals, three New Zealand team victories.
Oh, they're just much better than the rest.
So
if you divided it up, you say maybe there's four New Zealand teams that kill everyone. And then there is everyone else, and they're the best of the rest.
Hold on a minute. All I don't care about the answer to that. I care about watch the telly, about even if you're not interested. Uh-huh. Watch the telly at full time, because you will get. Hopefully, it'll still be Jeroboam bottles of Magners that they'll try and spray, and it will just limply bubble out the end.
Yeah,
not like champagne. And secondly, you'll get Scotty Robinson doing his breakdancing.
It's so incredibly tin pot, isn't it? There's no other way to put it. It's embarrassing. It's a grown man. He's an old man. He's 40 something.
He'll be either very, very late 30s or early 40s.
I just love that, because it's New Zealand as well, they've got to get like a tape deck out. And you know, whatever music that they listen to.
Flight of the Conchords.
It's so New Zealand. stick to hiking, lads.
There's some amazing pictures of him doing that last year. When you actually watch the video of him like getting down onto the phone, like shuffling around. The spins of whatever he's doing, they are impressive, but it does feel
like. But when's he practicing
cringy.
It?
Well,
I mean, that's the thing about breakdancing. If it was just completely natural, right, you could just do it like that. It might be cool, but you know he spent hours on his own practicing.
Well, not on his own, with like some urban dance crew.
Oh, that's even. And no, I don't think
he'll have been in a studio with one wall of total mirror.
Yeah, he will be.
Do you reckon? I think he's done it on his own, you know. I wouldn't. So if I wanted to learn to breakdance, there's no way I'm exposing myself to the ridicule of an urban street crew in a studio. I'm going to do it on my own.
Yeah, he just looked at YouTube.
Yeah, exactly.
Learn off YouTube.
And that's the problem with it.
Yes. So that'll be interesting. So we get to see that again.
Hold my beer.
Hey, listen, one bit of news that's come out. Again, JB's starting to sound almost a little bit perky, so I just want to bring him back down again. Before World Cup 2019, England are going to play Wales twice before the tournament.
I don't mind that, actually. That doesn't bother me so much, because they've got to play someone, right?
Yeah.
And England did it before with France. They were very good games before England won the actual World Cup against France. Did they not do it last World Cup twice against France as well?
It was against, because they normally do it against Wales, but Wales in their group last time.
No, they've done it against France twice, but maybe they've been. Oh, Wales were in England's group when they win the World Cup too.
Right, okay.
Yeah, because they had that amazing game where England were seconds. Well, not seconds, but you know, they were very close to going out.
Yeah.
Interesting. So, yeah, no problem with this. This is legitimate World Cup workups. The only time I get actually worked up about it is when it's before a summer tour or something.
Yeah.
It reeks to me of, we don't have our autumn international cash cow, let's get in England, because we know that'll make a load of money.
And they are right. That's the thing. They are right. I'm going to give them a little bit more sympathy. I do think it's a perfectly legitimate use of fixtures, because you need to be at your absolute best, and two full hit outs. You know, that makes sense. And they'll be coming up to RGC as well. They did that last year. So
but what's going to happen is one of the games is going to be like a frontline first team, and one of them is going to be a sort of the others.
But doesn't that excite you?
Against the others, why not Georgia like Scotland are doing? Or
maybe. I mean, that's not a bad idea. But I think
Russia or whatever.
I think the answer to that is because you need to reciprocate. So England aren't going to put out their others to face Wales' ones, and then they're not, without being able to play their ones against Wales' others, unless they split it into two halves. I don't think you get
the utility. They better not do that. If they do that, and also I suppose the other thing is, as much as it's a cash cow for the Principality Stadium, Twickenham needs a bit of cash these days.
Yes, it does, allegedly. I tell you what, If you're using two different squads, why don't you have back-to-back games on the same day? I'd go and watch that.
You could do,
I mean, if it's genuinely just a work-up, just, you know, but, and do it behind closed doors.
Although, having two squads does mean carrying about four... Well, it means carrying 46 players.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be like an American football team rocking up.
Yeah, one of the criticisms...
Scotland are playing France and Georgia.
Good. Solid. Do you know any of the other work-ups?
I haven't inspected them. I think Spain have got several of the teams going to the World Cup go visiting them, the smaller teams.
Oh, have they? That's interesting. Mm. Just to rub it in a bit.
Might be worth going to watch one of those games.
I'd love to go and watch one of those games. any other related rugby news? I feel like I'm missing something. Did something happen this week?
There's a couple of bits of news.
Go on.
There was the news around Ben Foden going to USA.
I feel like that's been announced.
Yeah, that was announced.
Yeah, that was
week.
Kind of touted months ago, wasn't it? But it's been made official.
Yeah, which is a... I don't know. Mills Mulyana did it as well, didn't he?
San Francisco.
Kind of at the end of his career for a little bit of cash and a couple more playing years. But
it does have its... Does have its fringe benefits of two being a rugby player in
New York.
In New York, yes.
Yeah. But the bigger news was probably the Ashley Johnson drugs ban.
Yeah. Fat burners.
Yes. So he was... he accidentally took his wife's fat burners, which had some illegal substance in, rather than his own legitimate, approved, WADA-approved fat burners.
Why don't WADA just step out of things? It's another thing which I don't... It's so strict and it's so severe. I do think that the whole drugs framework now exists just to punish players and to keep people in jobs.
Well, this isn't really severe because he's got a six-month ban backdated from when he... from 6 months ago. So
yeah.
He's basically free to play. And apparently... I read somewhere, and I've not actually verified this, I read somewhere that the ban period included 4 games that he played.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Ooh. So, I would just say, right, if it's in shops, you can take it. If it's illegal to take, you can't take it. And that is my general standing. Well, where do you get it from? Asda. Okay, fine. Crack on. And it's for the authorities to go and ban the things from the shelves rather than say to the rugby players, write down what the supplement is, write down the serial number, store it forever, and then if you do get busted, we can then look into it. Otherwise, it's just completely unfair. It's their entire livelihood. And to think that they could take away your entire livelihood, even for 2 years, a career is only, what, 8? Something like that?
Well,
your top earnings.
Average Premiership career is less than that.
Yeah.
If you take the average, which includes all the academy lads, then it's much less than that.
Yeah, so I don't... Yes, good. I'm glad that he's not out for too long.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
Yeah, it'd be good to see him back. And it does... Everything that I've read has said a stupid but genuine mistake.
But does he look slimmer? That's the important thing.
Well, we'll see.
Does he fit into that dress better?
His wife. I did like the name of his wife's supplement. It was called
Booty Body Workout or something.
No, not that bad. It was called The Secret.
Ooh. The Secret to Getting Banned.
Yeah.
So you remember our good friend Steve, don't you, Tim?
I do.
So he was so tight that he didn't want to buy personal training. So what he did is he borrowed his girlfriend's personal training regime, which I think was I think it was actually called like the Booty Body Workout.
Well, he sent it to us on the rugby group, and there's a few guys who know a bit about the gym, and it was like lunges,
ass raises,
Romanian deadlift, glute hamstring curls, Nordic curls. This is very hammies and glute focused, Steve.
Yeah, it's great, mate. She paid a load of money for it, and they've written it down, so I just thought, I'll use it.
I think that might be not the first time we've told that story on this podcast.
No, but you tell it more.
Well.
You tell it every other week, really.
Yeah, we should definitely get more miles out of it.
Bikini, booty, body.
We should just do it. Yeah, we should just have an egg chaser story time and spin a wheel and rotate one of about 15 stories.
Exactly. When in the off season. Oh, it is the off season.
Every year when the fact you got impaled on a on a tree.
Hey, it's nearly near the anniversary of that.
When you did a podcast from the one time, you wouldn't even miss a podcast when you were in a hospital bed having undergone some
fairly major surgery
and on big painkillers because you were impaled yourself on a tree after going down a zip wire. Every time we tell that story, people get in touch saying, I need to hear the whole story. What happened? Which episode did you do that?
It will be like 3 or 4 years ago today.
Yeah, 3 years ago, it was our good friends Harry and Fee's wedding. About 3 years ago in,
some nightmares about that.
Late July, maybe early August. I remember talking, so we won't tell the story now. You'll have to go back and listen. We'll tell it again in future. But I remember I was on the phone to you, because it was when we were in your studio, Tim. And I was on the phone to you like 10 minutes before the podcast. And I said to Tim, there is no way he's going to be able to do this.
Incorrect.
He is dosed up to his eyeballs. He's not making any sense. And then we phone you back 10 minutes later and you were perfectly coherent.
Exactly. I was like the presenter, do you know, on Eurovision Song Contest on Father Ted.
Exactly like that.
I think BT Sports should do an advert like that. Do you know they're really good at their adverts?
Yeah.
I think they should do an advert with like Nick Mellon's looking all like dishevelled and, you know, growing a beard out or what have you. And then as soon as he goes on camera, he looks immaculate.
Yeah. And he's smooth as
hello! Hello and welcome!
Actually, he was busy over the weekend. He was just getting back into the swing of rugby after doing all his tennis and stuff that Nick Mullins does.
Tell you what, tennis sounds no fun to do. Because you would have thought it'd be fun. Because, say, Wimbledon is like all strawberries and cream and champagne. And that's nice. But you don't know when the game's going to finish, so you can't make any plans outside of that game.
And it's a rugby game is a specified 80-minute period.
Yeah, then you
tennis,
get out.
It's 2 solid weeks of games from 10 a.m. through to 10 o'clock at night.
Exactly.
It's a big old shift.
You know what the thing with tennis is, though. You hear like one thing Nick Mullins does brilliantly in all the commentary there, and in this respect, it's easier than other sports. Is the commentary is not saying what's happening nearly as much. The conversation, it can just be a really relaxed conversation, and then you sort of zoom in and really precisely describe stuff at the critical moment in a game. Whereas rugby, it's 80 minutes, you're constantly describing what's happening. And when you hear commentators do tennis like it was a game of football or rugby, it sounds awful and your head hurts. So that's why it's hard to do well.
Striker!
That's interesting. Yeah, because you're not going to say, he hits it. He hits it back. He hits it.
He hits it again.
He hits it back.
Well, I don't know what else you would say.
Forehand.
Backhand. Don't they say, like, silence is golden in TV? So you just shut up, I guess, in tennis. You don't really...
Totally. Yeah, loads of tennis. It's just knowing when not
to. But how do you do that on the radio? Radio is a hard one.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, I think radio is very much that case where you, and Ali Eakin actually, he does a lot of tennis commentary on the radio. And I think it's about, much like with cricket, you might have a chat about the scones that someone's just brought into the room and then...
Yeah. Oh, I'll tell you what, cricket is... Yeah, you're right there. Cricket is excellent for just idle chit-chat.
Yeah.
I'm sure I would do a very good job at
test
cricket.
Test match special.
Yeah.
But you'd continue the idle chit-chat even when there was a critical moment in the game.
They're so few and far between. I mean, that is the beauty of cricket, isn't it? You need a real long attention span. And then something happens that's really exciting. It's big game fishing.
Yeah.
You're the new blowers. There you go. That should be your new aim.
Yeah. Would love that.
So Nick Mullins was getting back in his strides because there was the Premiership Sevens at the weekend.
Oh, that happened. Yeah. I don't like sevens, I've decided.
You don't like sevens, you don't like touch.
I don't like I don't like touch. So the reason I don't like sevens, I just don't really understand it. It's such a specialist game in its own right that the sevens you see the Premiership guys playing, I mean, they wouldn't hold a candle to, you know, World Cup sevens or some such thing, as you'd expect, really. But also, it's so hard to gauge like who's going to win. You'd have thought, when you go 2 tries up, you'd be nailed on to just...
Yeah, no. You know,
not at all?
Not at all. It's exciting. Looking through the squads, because I've only seen a few kind of snippets from the BT Sport highlights, looking through the squads, there was not that many names that you recognise in the teams.
I mean, Sale had a few guys that you might know. Kieran Wilkinson, Aaron Reid.
Doggers look good.
Doggers.
Doggers, yeah.
Powerful little man.
And he should be a running back in the NFL, that guy.
He absolutely should. He'd kill it. And the other one as well, there's a robot fella, right? Who, big shoulders on him. I don't know what position he plays. I think it's Roebuck. And he looked class.
And Saracens then won it, and they look good. But there was a bunch of... It was quite good to see some of the potential new breed. There was the backup scrum half for Quinns looks a baller.
Who's that? Is that Water something?
Yes, that's it.
I only watched a tiny bit of it, and
he looks a proper player. And Wasps, they've got a couple of really exciting backs.
I watched Wasps play Sale in the A League last year, obviously. Yeah, the thing I'd say about Wasps, the difference between Wasps and Sale, like Sale had a few first teamers out there. They had Halonia Lika, they had Dave Seymour, they had Johnny Leota, like big bodies of guys. Like it was weird to watch actually, because Johnny Leota would get the ball and he would plow through three or four guys, but he would get taken down. And that was basically it. Sale guys would make more yards than the individual carries, but ultimately it wasn't really effective. Wasps, all the players were tiny, like little skinny whippet things, and they ripped them to shreds. I thought, wow, they've got a lot of pace in that academy.
That would make
sense. I
can't
remember the names of the guys. Circa was one, but there's a few others. Anyway, the future looks good for Wasps.
Yeah, completely agree.
But it's weird. You know, there's that point in your life when, like, you suddenly realise that the people that you're watching in the sport you love are younger than you. Like the Sevens was that times.
What,
you know, like
17 or something, or something ridiculously young. Yeah.
Ben Ryan was one of the commentators, one of the co-commentators. And this Bath guy went over, this big unit, Jack Davis, back row player, number 8, I think. And he sort of barrowed over for a try. And Ben Ryan said, oh, yeah, I used to play with his dad. And I sort of thought in my head, oh, God, yeah, God, that'll be one day, won't it? When, you know, your mate's kid, or you remember playing with the dad of the guy there. And then I went, oh, shit, I played with Craig Davis at Newbury as well.
Oh, no.
So I played with Jack Davis's dad. I might interview a player this season as a man of the match for Bath, and I played with his dad.
Wow. We are getting old.
We are no spring chickens anymore, unfortunately.
Yeah. I know. Depressing.
Hanging on for dear life, though.
To be fair to me, Craig Davis was at the end of his career and I was just coming into the first team.
Exactly.
Anyway.
Jokes on him. Sevens is good. Let's review Gloucester and Sale.
Well, so in part of doing this, it's also worth mentioning that we are reigniting our kind of love affair with fantasy rugby draft this season.
Are we?
We are.
Yes!
We are. It's not fully live yet for the Premiership season, but we are going to be as addicted as the last two seasons.
Providing I get off to a good start, I will stay involved. If not...
You just give all your players to Bryn again.
I did not do that. I've got a load of picks from Bryn.
Yeah, of course you have, mate.
Loads.
Fantasy Rugby Draft, it's called. I was so glad when this arrived a couple of years ago, and we've had 2 years of total obsession, I think it's probably fair to say, every single Friday at midday. I don't know how I'm going to do it with my midday CrossFit classes that I go to these days. I don't know how I'm going to manage fantasy rugby draft.
You've got to bin it off
when the teams come out.
Yeah, well, I mean, you can only pick your team, can't you, when the official teams come out, so... You've got to be careful of that.
Yeah, you would only ever pick up players when the official team come
absolutely,
out.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, because it's better, isn't it? Everyone's the same then.
Yes.
So it's a different type of fantasy rugby game, which means that you play with 9 other mates in a league, and instead of everyone being able to pick the best player, only one team can have any one player, and then you can trade and barter... And there's a whole new dynamic to this. It's absolutely awesome, and we can't speak of it highly enough.
The trading's where it's at.
Yeah.
And also the draft part.
Oh, the draft is one of the most exciting couple of hours of the whole rugby year.
Exciting, intense, stressful, frustrating, but And your season can be made and lost on the draft.
All on the Saracens front row.
Yeah.
You want Adrian McGinty, you want Saracens front row.
McGinty would be a good pickup.
Yeah, of course he will. He's an excellent player.
Yeah, who would be your top three then, JB? So you've got Saracens would be your top pick, McGinty two, and then...
Faf.
Faf.
Nah.
Oh, no.
Scrum off.
Yeah, because he's...
Third pick.
Yeah, but he also kicks. But he might be off for South Africa, so that's a no. Who's my other one? Come back to me.
Molonga might be a good one.
I tell you what, Ollie Woodburn's not a bad shout.
Yeah, I had Ollie Woodburn last year. So he was the third highest point scorer in the game last time.
Perfect. Ideal. Tim?
I'll keep that to myself, but thanks for the intel.
The early ones...
I think Richie Mwanga will be good because he won't be playing... He'll be playing 22 club games if fit, you'd think.
Sopawanga, you mean?
Sorry, Sopawanga.
Breaking news. Richie Mwanga. I tell you what...
Sopawanga.
Tell you what other one that might be worth
a look. Gopith will probably be kicking, won't he? Still, if he plays. It'll be interesting to see what they do with their centres at Wasp.
Because Sopawanga is a good kicker as well.
Well, yeah. The other one who might be worth a bit of a punt is Van Rensburg.
Yeah, he was decent, so I picked him up last season when he came in. But midfielders don't score as well as... So outside backs are the best. Outside backs and fly halves score best.
Yeah, agreed.
But you can obviously only have one fly half and three outside backs playing at any one time. Anyway.
Excuse me.
So, go to fantasyrugbydraft.com. Sign up. We will sporadically, as the season gets closer, have some links to join leagues if you've not got, or if you're struggling to get 10 friends together, struggling to herd those
cats. I would just say, you really do need, you really need friends. So if you, for instance, you're the type of guy that comments on Reddit, this game isn't for you.
You can comment on Reddit. So
Nine friends and a WhatsApp group. Yeah, and you have
exactly.
You have 9 months of entertainment.
Actually, maybe the Reddit guys could get it together.
Yeah,
from the basements.
But there are people that go on there. There are people that go on there and just start a league which anyone can join. And
that is true.
That's good crap as well.
Yeah, and keep an eye on our Twitter as the season gets closer, and there'll be Egg Chasers leagues for it as well.
Yeah, there you go.
So we're going to do our two predictions of this will be 8th and 7th position from last season.
Yeah, we're going through our little 12 close-ups on the Premiership teams, and we're up to 7th and 8th.
Which is Sale and Gloucester. So, do you want to start Sale?
I don't know. I don't know anything about Sale, really.
And as we're doing it, at the end, we'll give you kind of a star player and a potential bolter from each club.
Sure. So, I'm a little bit worried about Sale's recruitment. I think they've got enough strength and depth, but ultimately, what they're looking to do is have 30 players, 15 plus 15 plus 2. So 32 altogether. Does that make sense?
It does.
So, that's how they run their squad. They've got more or less that there. People are worried about the prop situation. Not so much me. Helani Aliga has left, which I do actually think is a big issue, because Helani is a guy that can't be replicated by anyone else. He's just such an enormous bodied man. Like, he's literally, and this is not a joke, he's literally the only player at Sale who's allowed to pick and go on his own. I mean, that's an actual rule. So if you sit next to the coaches, you can hear them shouting, "It's okay, it was Helani." So that is a real thing. And now he's gone, you lose a lot of weight there. I mean, you just don't find naturally big-bodied guys that easily.
So you say you're not worried about their prop situation?
No.
If I were a Sale fan, I would be worried, particularly about their loose-head prop situation.
Well, let's just start with the hooker. So I'm really, really happy with the situation at hooker. So I think Rob Webber, on his day, is absolutely formidable. And people don't give him nearly enough credit. Then you've got Mark Jones, who is just hard. And then underneath that is Cameron Neild. And actually, if he could get his throwing together, he could be one of the best hookers in the Premiership, quite frankly.
And in terms of fantasy rugby draft, because you have front row as a unit, Cameron Neild will occasionally play or come on as a back row.
Absolutely right.
So you can have four Sale players on at once, in the same way that Dave Ward occasionally plays for Quinns.
Can I just prevent this from going through every single position in the Sale team?
Right. Yeah, I'll be much quicker.
I want to get through the prop position because that is a big area I see as a weakness for Sale.
So yes, you would say that. Now, a lot of people spend a lot of money on props, Sale not so much. And the theory is, and this it's a theory I really like, is that you can make anyone into a prop if they've got the right strength and size. And to a degree, I think Steve Diamond's proven this, whether it be Vladim Kobolash or, you know, name the prop, Will Griff John. You know, everyone was like, oh, he's a bit, he was a bit of a plodder, and then doesn't miss a tackle since December.
Ever. He's never missed a tackle.
He's not missed a tackle since December, right? And, you know, that's just a pickup from Doncaster. They've got this Joe Jones lad that's come in, who is frighteningly strong. And they've also got the Romanian fella, Taras, who's also frighteningly strong. So in terms of just brute, sheer horsepower, they're as good as anyone.
But they've got three tight head props, albeit certainly the two that you mentioned, Will Griff John and Joe Jones, are relatively inexperienced.
Yeah, they are. That's fair.
Lou said they've got probably one of the most underrated...
Oh, Harrison! Goodness me!
Yeah, so Lou said they've got one of the most underrated and probably underpaid players in the league in Ross Harrison.
Yeah, completely
because
agree.
Whatever he's paid...
Not enough.
For how robust and the number of minutes he puts in is not enough. But then he's only got James Flynn behind him.
Well, no, Taras is the other guy.
But yeah, but then you're taking your primary tight head and pushing
into
a loose
head. No, I disagree with that. The primary tight head this year will be Will Griff or Joe Jones. So they've already made that switch across.
Yeah.
And getting into detail. It is, let's detail. Be honest, it's light.
So the other
props, they need another prop or two.
I'm open to them.
I think, do you know what? We both sat in a media session where, on the record with other journalists around you and IJB, mm-hmm. Steve Diamond said he had five people from the Southern Hemisphere that would be joining Sale.
Yes, he did.
So far,
Rohan Jansi
van Rensburg has arrived.
But that's like three, isn't it? Yeah, that's like three.
So his quads are three normal men's quads.
Yeah, exactly right.
Exactly. No, my point being, there's either deals which have been done which haven't been announced, or Steve Diamond once again hasn't got the men he thought he was going to get.
I don't know. We'll wait and see.
Are you denying that he said that?
Oh, no. He definitely said that. I think he does have the men, though, is what I'm saying. Because they'll be coming, I'm assuming they'll be coming from the Lions.
Well, yeah, the Lions
will get... They're absolutely ravaged.
We'll get onto Gloucester in a second, but they are taking a few from the Lions.
Yeah, and, you know, South Africans suit Steve Diamond's mannerisms, you know, hard and simple. You know. Although, to be fair, there's nothing simple about Steve Diamond. Back row, I genuinely think can be the best.
No, let's not go through every position on the field. You lead it.
I've not spoken about second row. We'll ignore that. Back row genuinely could be the best back row in the Premiership on their day. Maybe, if not their top three, two Currys, Strauss and Ross. Ross is superb. Yeah. I mean, Ross, people will look back at this, right, and they'll go, oh, Brad Shields, do you remember him? And everyone will go, no. Because everyone will be talking about Jono Ross. Like, the fact that there's so much hoopla about one of them and not the other is a complete mystery to me.
Can we dive view this a little bit more, Phil?
So, moving on to the backs, it is box office. Absolutely box office. Maybe lacking a little depth.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. Do you know who I think might miss out a bit this year? James O'Connor.
It'd be interesting to see where he fits in.
And also, he's looking massive at the moment. I don't mean fat. I mean, like, he is bulked up hugely. So, earlier on in the season, well, last year, he was very, very small and wiry. And for whatever reason it is, he has put on a lot of muscle mass. And I just wonder, like, you know, what
centre.
Yeah, maybe.
Outside centre.
13.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be quite exciting. AJ that will be one of the best 10s in the league. Faf is the best 9 in the league.
Yeah. I would say about what my thought on Sale is, and I know it's partly due to their training regime, they cut right back on the amount of contact in training, and that's what they put down their lower rate of injury than a lot of other sides. If there are some key injuries, mm-hmm. particularly in second row front in that front five, if there are key injuries,
second row's the one for me.
Or at half back, they are in trouble.
Yeah, I completely agree. We'll talk about the young lads later, but
you can talk to yourself after the pod offline.
Yeah, my primary concern for this team is fullback. Is Chris Ashton going to be the fullback?
It would look like it, but I wouldn't be happy with that if I was a Sale fan, having seen him at Toulon.
But he did, and I mean, I think the story of Sale season this year is going to be big losses and big wins. And I don't know if they're going to climb the table. I think some people are going to get an absolute hiding by them. Maybe they could climb the table by two places, right? But they are going to absolutely spank some people, and they're going to get absolutely spanked.
So prediction overall, last season you said top four.
Yeah, they nearly did. They were so close.
I mean, they were eighth. So
No, but that doesn't tell the real story.
So
but it doesn't tell the real story. It doesn't tell the real story.
They're equidistant from relegation and top four.
Yeah, but it doesn't tell the real story. I mean, they were two games away from finishing fourth.
Hmm.
I think they'll finish sixth, and I think they will have some amazing games. And if someone gets injured, the people you haven't spoken about are Kieran Wilkinson, who's a very fine 10, and also Young Redpath, who I don't think we're going to see for a year.
Yeah, he might be out until, the very back end of the season.
Yeah, Sam Moore is there as well, so watch out for him. I don't know when they'll stop playing
him. Sam Moore's a highly rated young prospect.
I think what you can say about them is things look very settled. I mean, they've let TJ Ioane go to London Irish because, you know, the Curry boys have established themselves. And things look very, very settled. So while Steve Diamond identified that he had five people from the Southern Hemisphere which are coming, and currently one has come, maybe there's four to join, we don't know. But if that doesn't happen, they're very settled. If that does happen, they've got the bodies. So I think it's going to be down to injuries for Sale.
Yeah,
and I think they could go up. I think they could stay static. I don't think they'll go lower than where they are.
And Tim, I won't ask JB this because he'll list the whole team.
What?
If you could have one star man from Sale and you could highlight one potential bolter, who would they be?
Ooh.
Star man.
There's about three, four, five star men.
It's got to be.
Exactly my point.
It has to be Faf. I was tempted to go AJ McGinty.
I'd go AJ.
I do think he's going to have a great season.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
And Bolter. I'll tell you what. Just watching him in the sevens, I'm just going to go a bolter, Paolo Adogu.
Oh, nice.
I know that they've brought in Ashton, and I know that that sounds crazy, but there's so much raw talent there. It's frightening.
Yeah. Matt Sturgis might be one. Aaron Reed might be one. I'm going Kieran Wilkinson.
Kieran Wilkinson, do you think he'll get game time?
I think he will. At some point, someone's going to get injured, and he's next cab off the rank now that Young Redpath is injured.
Hmm. There you go. On to Gloucester.
Yeah, they'll be good.
So you'll cover these in exactly the same detail, no doubt, JB.
Yep. Do you want to start, Tim?
Well, quite a few recruits have come in.
They brought in five South Africans, all of whom are forwards.
I don't know about this, you know.
So they brought in a hooker, a prop, and one back row in Jacko Creel and two second rows.
Yeah, the two second rows are mighty impressive.
Grobler from Munster.
A Mustard.
Yeah, from the Lions.
They're ace. I mean, they are genuinely ace. Frightening looking prospect.
So, yeah, and so you talk about the Ben Darwin position of team unity.
Yep.
Now, you're bringing in guys who have played with each other before and have played with the coaching team.
Yeah, makes a difference.
So, yeah, that does make a difference. And that will add some strength, some solidity to that Gloucester pack.
Yeah, do you know where, I mean, the biggest concern for me is not the talent Gloucester have. Gloucester have got so much talent. I mean, they've got more players with sort of like an X rating than pretty much any other team, like whether it be Trinder or Atkinson, you know,
Cipriani.
Cipriani.
I was going to say, you might have picked Jason Woodward. Ahead of those.
And Tom Marshall.
I just went a bit blank then. Yeah. But yeah, all of these lads, right, can do really special things. They're not easily coachable, I wouldn't say. But I think the way that Ackerman coaches, which is we'll pick you for the right reasons for what you can do, works really,
and
really well.
And let the boys play.
And let the boys play, quite. They're going to be formidable if they can get it right. But again, I think they're going to be very similar to Sale, which won't surprise you because of where they finished up. But they're going to have some massive wins and some massive defeats.
Which they did last season.
Yeah.
They had some brilliant wins. Famously, first game of the season against champions Exeter. They got hammered travelling up to Sale by 50 points.
God, that was absolutely brutal.
Yeah. I think they will. I think the strengthening that they've done in the pack will give them...
Oh, sorry, Owen Williams. Don't forget him.
Yeah.
Because he's still there. God knows where they're going to fit them all in.
Well, yeah, Owen Williams will probably end up playing as...
The Dragons?
Maybe. Well, I was going to say as kind of a ball-playing 12 in the same way that they'll use Atkinson or 12 Trees.
Yeah. I mean, 12 Trees is the one. He's been playing really well.
He did. He had a good season last year.
Yeah, he kicks as well. And he's got that leadership thing going on.
You will want a kicking player alongside Sippers.
Yeah.
Do you know what they've addressed? Yeah, and when you look at that, they've addressed some key areas, Gloucester, the engine room.
Yep.
Jeremy Thrush had a decent season. I've got so much time for Ed Slater.
Yeah, yeah.
There wasn't enough nastiness. You're not going to be scared of going to King's Home. But there's a real gnarliness in that pack now. A
couple extra South Africans always helps.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Five extra South Africans that they've brought in.
Yeah. So who was the prop?
That will do that. And a fly half that they know is their number one.
Yeah, that's important. I mean, I just feel so bad for Owen Williams.
He had his chances.
Not really. A lot of injuries last year.
Hmm.
And he never really played 12. He played 12 for Wales, but he didn't play 12 for Gloucester that much. I mean, I'd like to see him have a real crack, but I don't know if there's anywhere for him to go. I mean, there wasn't really anywhere for Sippers to go, truth be told. So where Owen Williams would go, I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe...
Dragons?
I honestly can't think where... Maybe France is the future of him.
Yeah.
Oh, he's not getting picked for Wales. Oh, he might get picked for Wales. Who knows?
Well,
Worcester.
You'd probably want to keep him if you were Gloucester.
Well, not for the money he's on.
Yeah, assuming he's on good money from his
he's
transfer.
He's on very, very good money. I can confirm that.
There you go.
So they should be good. Again, it's all about if they bed in. I think that's a big difference, isn't it, between Sale and Gloucester, which is Sale are very well bedded in. Gloucester are not. And if they click, they should be very, very impressive. Yeah.
They have addressed some of their weaknesses. Prop and centre are still aware and still where I have maybe a little question mark.
Do you not think, though, the way they've addressed their second row issues is very similar to the way they addressed their front row issues a few years ago, which is just buy two of the most expensive things on the market and hope for the best?
I think there is an element of that, but I think the difference is they've got experience of those two, as in first-hand experience via Ackerman.
Yeah. By the way, just thinking about South African second rows, whatever happened to Wande Kruger?
He's at... What's Toulon.
Is he still there?
Yeah.
I always liked him as a player. Anyway.
So two questions then. First of all, where are Gloucester going to finish?
Seventh.
Same again. Tim?
Yeah, I think they could sneak top six. Six. But maybe seventh. Yeah, they're going to be roughly where they are.
And then, if you were to pick two players, one star man and one, either the guys coming in or someone we've not seen before, who would you pick as your bolter and your star man?
Owen Williams, star man.
Do you think he's going to play much?
No. I can see it. I'm thinking like any given Sunday style scenario. Sippers goes down. Owen Williams is on the bench eating popcorn. they're down by a few points. They throw him on, starts bossing the show. It goes all the way to the World Cup, wins it.
Wins the World Cup? Wow.
Yeah. On the back of Owen Williams.
do you want to put that on the whiteboard?
No. No, I don't. And what young lads? I know it's not really a bolter because he's been around for a year or two now. But the two back rows have got in Ludlow and Pelledri.
Pelledri's a good player.
Yeah, I feel like once you've played international, you can't really be a bolter. So Ludlow. Was it Ludlum? Was that the guy from Northampton?
Ludlow.
That's the guy that I really like. I think he's a phenomenal player.
Tim, any re-raise on those two?
He's not a bolter by any stretch, but just one player, one of my favourite Gloucester players to watch. I don't think he played that much last year. I just love the way he plays. He's Hanson, the hooker. Really like him.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good shot.
Quite an old player. It would be... We need to see Fraser Balmain this year for Gloucester. That's another player. They need to actually see him this year. But no, my bolter would be Ben Vellacott. Come on.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Burst on the scene.
Yeah.
Then you got yourself down to third choice just after everyone was talking you up as an England player, and you turned down the chance to play for Scotland. So it's about time you fulfilled this potential. So Ben Vellacott. And then I reckon my star man, just because what a guy he is, Banners.
Banners.
Not for me. I mean, I don't know even how he gets in the team. I know everyone loves him. Oh, maybe on the wing. They're not that powerful on the wing, are they? So
yeah, they've got a few young lads on the wings.
Ollie, Thorley.
Thorley, Purdy.
Yeah, they're good. They're all good.
I think he'll pop up at 12. He'll pop up at 13. He'll pop up on the wing.
He's very handy to have, isn't he, for like the LV Cup or whatever it is.
Yeah, and in between the months of November and March, when there's injuries, when there's international players away.
Yeah, I bet they've got a synthetic pitch this year, haven't they? Or part synthetic pitch.
Have they?
Yeah, they've relayed it completely, like part synthetic part grass. Delicious.
Yeah, I like those pitches.
Oh, and another player, in fact, when you actually think about the players that they were shorn of for a lot of last season, they didn't have a lot of them. They didn't. Val Rapava Ruskin.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He's a potential star man for them as well.
Powerful young lad.
Their star man for me has to be Jason Woodward.
Because I
really want to see him pushing for an England spot.
Oh, so sorry about this. When you talk about star men, not this team, not what we're talking about at all. But I thought I'd mention it anyway. Allegedly, Kyle Eastman has agreed terms this week with Leicester.
Interesting.
Yes, we'll talk about that maybe later, or maybe that'll be all I say about it. Do you know whose job I really want? What's your dream job?
Me?
Yeah.
Good question.
Your dream job in rugby?
Oh, in rugby? I would quite like to do some strength and conditioning stuff.
Really? God, yeah. That's dull. Lift.
I'd quite like to do some of the analysis behind the scenes on the injury stuff as well with Ross Tucker.
Ooh, yeah.
I think that'd be
that's
very
your
interesting.
Dream job.
Those two things would be very...
There's no doubt. Like, dream job, England head coach. That's it, obviously.
Really?
Okay, dream job, England fly half. Well, for the 2003 World Cup.
Okay, so my dream job in rugby, and it doesn't even come close, in club rugby at least, David Humphrey's job.
Yeah.
I mean, that you get to wear a blazer all day, you get to go to meetings. Ackerman's going to sort out the squad for you.
Yeah, but he
Vaughan's got all the commercial stuff nailed down. Perfect.
His stress around job security must be pretty high.
Well, unless he thinks he's actually pulled the wool over everyone's eyes.
Well, yeah, that's what Gary Gould thought.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah, but he's not employing Mike Ford. So.
Yeah, he's employing someone much better than Mike Ford.
Yeah, but a guy with somewhat somewhat more scruples.
Yeah, maybe. Good honourable man.
Honourable man, yes. Failing that, I reckon Rob Andrews' old job would be pretty good.
What, as the sort of like...
Like, just wear a blazer.
Yeah.
Go to press conferences.
What was his title?
God knows. He was doing two jobs,
Head
apparently.
Head of rugby operations.
Yeah, he did nothing.
Yeah.
Although he would tell you that he did two jobs. He didn't really. That's a good one. Generic defence coach, as I spoke about loads of times, that's a great one. I mean, you can't be fired from...
Line speed.
Aggression. Aggression.
Here's a wolf.
Here's some snakes, boys. Let's watch some videos of snakes. Right, off we go.
Tim, what would be yours? I guess you've got your dream job at BT Sport.
Exactly.
Oh, absolutely. It is a dream come true every time I get the honour and privilege of doing it. But obviously, I'd England head coach, as I said. Do you know I wasn't even joking when I said that.
Do you know what a great job would be if it existed, but it doesn't? The NFL has got people that work for the NFL Network, and they literally show up to work every day and talk about the NFL, and that's all that they do. That is a great job. If there's a rugby version of the NFL Network,
yeah,
that's what I could do.
Old boys.
Yeah.
RFU Alakadu.
And get paid a Rich Eisen-style salary.
Yeah.
Or commissioner of the league. Anyway.
Commissioner, yeah. Well, you've got one league to commission in fantasy rugby draft.
Exactly. I take that responsibility very seriously.
We've got to strip that title off JB. That is an outrage if he gets to do that for a third year. It's like Putin.
Sorry, Tim.
Yeah, it is.
Just for the record, I have successfully shepherded our league to one of the top-ranked leagues 2 years running. That isn't an accident.
No thanks to your own personal points contribution.
Well, first year, it was Depot upon me as a playoff manager. But, you know, I run a tight ship, so... Hey, if you want to do less well as a league, go get yourself a different commissioner.
I do like how it's. It feels like it's one rule for the commissioner and another rule for everyone else.
For me and Bryn, and then. Wait, right. Enough of this nonsense.
It sets the morality bar very low.
I disagree strongly.
There you go.
Right. So find us on Twitter at Rugby Podcast. Find us on Instagram, where all the kids hang out. Are we going to be taking pictures of food or something on Instagram this week? What are we going to do with that?
Smashed avocado on toast.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Ideal. And Facebook. We've not actually done a Facebook Live tonight because I look and feel so awful. But in the future, you'll get Facebook Live videos as well. So, look at that. So, yeah, until next week when we come to you with more rugby knowledge, intrigue and conversation. Goodbye.
Let the boys play.
LTBP.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.